A reading from the second book of Kings. The high priest Hilkiah informed the scribe Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Then the scribe Shaphan went to the king and reported, "Your servants have smelted down the metals available in the temple and have consigned them to the master workmen in the temple of the Lord." The scribe Shaphan also informed the king that the priest Hilkiah had given him a book and then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the contents of the book of the law, he tore his garments and issued this command to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Akbar, son of Micaiah, the scribe Shaphan, and the king's servant Uzziah. "Go, consult the Lord for me, for the people, for all Judah, about the stipulations of this book that has been found. For the anger of the Lord has been set furiously ablaze against us, because our fathers did not obey the stipulations of this book, nor fulfill our written obligations." The king then had all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem summoned together before him. The king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, priests, prophets, and all the people, small and great. He had the entire contents of the book of the covenant that had been found in the temple of the Lord read out to them. Standing by the column, the king made a covenant before the Lord that they would follow him and observe his ordinances, statutes, and decrees with their whole hearts and souls, thus reviving the terms of the covenant, which were written in this book. And all the people stood as participants in the covenant. The word of the Lord. Teach me the way of your decrees, O Lord. Instruct me, O Lord, in the way of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commands, for in it I delight. Incline my heart to your decrees and not to gain. Turn away my eyes from seeing what is vain. By your way, give me life. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your justice, give me life.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them."
Verbum Domini.
As we approach the conclusion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, we listen today to his instruction concerning false prophets who come as wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's important for us to approach this passage cautiously, as it is often misapplied in real-life situations. Some people might point to someone they simply dislike, perhaps a popular person or a historical figure, and they call them a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then they proceed to judge the famous person according to subjective criteria that they invented instead of objective standards. As is the case with all sacred scripture, we should be very careful not to misuse, misapply, or misinterpret scripture for selfish or self-serving reasons. We should allow scripture to inform us, to sanctify us, and to speak to us as the word of God. And scripture helps us to discern and to come to know God's will. It should never be used as an instrument for implementing our own will or coercing others into believing what we want them to believe. And to understand what Jesus means when he says false prophets, we need to know first, what is a prophet? A prophet in the Old Testament is generally someone who has been called and even anointed by God to speak to the people on God's behalf. The prophet is expected to speak God's word regardless of the prophet's personal feelings about the message. Personally, the prophet might not want to say what God is calling him to say, but he is expected to speak it anyway. For example, the prophet Jonah did not want to preach to the Ninevites, but he was sent to do it anyway. The message of the prophets usually consists of a reminder to the people of the covenant that they have made with the Lord God, a reminder of the laws and statutes that are included with that covenant, a call for the people to repent of any sins that they have committed due to infractions of the law, and to warn the people of the consequences of remaining obstinate in sin. And the prophets also frequently remind the people that God loves them and never stops loving them, even when they have sinned grievously against him. The prophets sometimes give detailed warnings or premonitions of future events that will occur if the people do not repent. But they also promise peace, restoration, and prosperity if the people repent and begin to do what is right and just. And throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous instances of false prophets who attract followers, including kings, and lead the people away from true worship into idol worship. The book of Deuteronomy gives some guidelines for recognizing a false prophet and stipulates the punishment for uttering false prophecy. Deuteronomy 13 says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams." So even if the so-called prophet can accurately predict a sign or a wonder that seems to confirm his authenticity, if he then tells people to go and worship false gods, then the people know with certainty that this is a false prophet. A true prophet would never lead people into idol worship. And then in Deuteronomy 18, Moses is recorded as saying to the people, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him.'" So this is what a true prophet does. He speaks what the Lord God commands him to speak. And then a little later in the same chapter, it says, "And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know that the word that the Lord, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." So here we have another criterion for a false prophet. The first criterion is that the false prophet leads others into idol worship, or we could also say leads people into sin. The other criterion is that the word they have spoken on behalf of the Lord does not come to pass or come true. And the penalty in the Old Testament for uttering false prophecy is death. And thus, when Jesus speaks of false prophets, he likely has in mind this common Jewish understanding of real prophets versus false ones. False prophets come as wolves in sheep's clothing, and we can know them by their fruits. Now, some people think that the fruits are their actions. That is, a real prophet will perform good works, whereas a false prophet will not perform good works or will even do evil works. The problem with this interpretation is that it is contradicted by Scripture itself in Deuteronomy 13, from which I had just quoted. Remember that Deuteronomy 13 teaches about prophets who speak of a sign or a wonder that actually comes to pass. The fact that the prophet was correct about the sign or wonder that he predicted does not automatically make him a real prophet. While it is true that real prophets can accurately predict some future events that are revealed to them by God, false prophets are also able to make good predictions. A false prophet might even do other good works, such as give to the poor, pray, fast, and do other works of charity. They may look on the outside to be a good person. In fact, good works can make a false prophet even more convincing and deceiving. And hence, good works cannot be what Jesus means by fruits. It would be more accurate to say that bad teaching, such as leading people into idol worship or into sin, is a bad fruit. And there's another passage from Scripture that can help shed light on what is meant by fruits. In Galatians 5, St. Paul distinguishes between the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And these lists can be very helpful in evaluating the authenticity of a messenger who claims to speak for God. St. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So by themselves, the works of the flesh are not an immediate indicator of a false prophet. In fact, a false prophet might be very effective in covering up their own sin or their works of the flesh. After all, the wolf is posing as a sheep, and so they are trying to appear to others as if they are sheep. But we can see the fruits of the false prophet by looking at their followers, those who are listening to them. What effect is the teaching of the prophet having on the people listening to him? Are the people more prone towards the works of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit? If they are being led into sin, then even if the false prophet appears to be a good and holy person on the outside, this is usually an indication that something is rotten. But if the people are exhibiting more of the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on, then that is a good indication that the prophet is authentic. And so we would do well to heed our Lord's warning today, and to beware of those who we might consider as speaking for God. If we see that such speakers seem to bring out the worst in people and lead them into sin or into the works of the flesh, then we might be listening to a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing. If a speaker is instilling in people fear, anger, hatred, divisions, bigotry, lasciviousness, impurity, or other false or bad fruits, then perhaps they are not speaking for God. Our Lord has cautioned us against being fooled by people who know how to walk the walk and to talk the talk as Christians, but do not produce the fruits of the Spirit in others. Rather, they encourage the works of the flesh. Ultimately, no one should presume to speak for God. We should tremble with fear to ever speak for God. Rather, that God has spoken his word definitively in Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And our goal is to become more like Christ in our thoughts, words, and actions, and even to the very depths of our being. We should strive to listen to teachers, especially the saints, who do not tickle our ears with what we want to hear, but who lead us closer to the Lord, and who help us to shun the works of the flesh and to produce the fruits of the Spirit.